We are absolutely delighted to have our very own Sandy Connolly to guide us through some inspiring pieces of art depicting the events of Palm Sunday. We casually called it Palm Sunday art, but it's a little bit deeper than that. It's I'm sure you will all leave today with much to ponder, and you can probably find some of these pieces to look at later online. Next Sunday is Easter, so we won't have a seminar. Everyone, I hope you have a happy Easter, and then come back, because Easter doesn't end next Sunday. And Tucker Ferda from Pittsburgh Seminary is going to offer a fresh perspective on what resurrection means, and especially what it meant to the followers of Jesus shortly after the resurrection. Tucker is just a really wonderful, I think, creative thinker in New Testament scholarship, and I would say plan to come and tell your friends. And now Sandy will open with prayer.
Good morning, everybody. And yes, I'm so delighted that you all came to visit. And hello to those folks in Zoom land. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Today we praise you, God, with shouts of Hosanna in the highest. Guide our discussion about Palm Sunday, and then help us prepare for the coming Holy Week, when once again we bear witness to the sacrifice your Son Jesus made for us all. Amen. All right, well, wonderful. Did it turn? No? Okay, Ted, I guess we're going to have to work together on this. I want to change the slide. Oh, okay. There we go. Wonderful. All right. So all four Gospels record a version of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And Jesus's entry into Jerusalem can be seen as the hinge between all that Jesus had been doing and teaching during his ministry and what is to come. And that being the violence, the betrayal, and death that lies ahead for him. And then, of course, the resurrection. I want to read the Luke story as it has the most detail. The artists who have created the paintings that we will examine have chosen to use or not use various elements described in the gospel stories. So let's listen first to the familiar verses, and then I think we'll be ready to look at the paintings. This is Luke 19, verses 28 to 44. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." So that's a very encompassing telling of the story. So the fresco that we're going to examine first, that's the one that we've been, you know, has advertised this day to us. It is part of a cinematic series of paintings that cover the walls of Scrivegni Chapel in Padua, Italy. And these stories tell various frescoes tell the story of the life of Mary, as well as the life of Jesus, in beautiful glowing colors, which are still remarkably well preserved. So this was painted by Giotto. He goes by one name. And it was painted in 1305, so a long time ago. So if you can imagine that this fresco is still has vibrant colors, that is just an amazing technique that is used. Are most of you familiar with fresco? Do you know what that is? I will. So a fresco is a painting created by adding a water-based pigment to wet plaster. And as it dries, it's embedded into the plaster and it makes it very permanent. So this painting by Giotto Giotto is a painter who is known to have revolutionized the art of Florence, ushering in the Italian Renaissance period. And his depictions of human and natural world were less stylized than the popular Byzantine tradition of that time. So he is acknowledged to be the first Italian master to have achieved universal importance. So like I said before, there are many of these frescoes in this Scrivegni Chapel, and he does excellent storytelling. So I wanted to ask you, what is it that strikes you about this particular piece? Is there anything that stands out, or is it just a telling of the story? Carol, I guess we do need to have the mic brought to you. I'm sorry. Here comes Ted.
I don't know if those are angels, but the little people in white, I don't recognize that as part of the typical story.
Yet it is used in any number of the depictions. So you're right. I do wonder, or is it just part of the crowd that almost like Zacchaeus? But
so Sandy, I'm caught by a couple of things. One is the bright colors. How many depictions of different aspects of the text are in that one picture? It's a highly, I don't know how to put this, a highly narrative Yes. Picture, if you know. Yeah, okay, you got it.
Exactly.
And it seems to follow the text, which is really nice, because often a movie never follows the book, as you well know.
That's exactly what I was thinking, was that, you know, this particular piece, I started with it for a number of reasons, one being that it's the oldest, but the other being that it does take all of the elements, or most of the elements in the gospel story, and it is depicted that way. Chip?
Well, this might be a prelude to the sermon today, but it seems like the donkey is more prominent than Jesus in this picture.
Aha. Uh-huh. Interesting. That's wonderful. Thank you for the preview. Yeah. Well, I do think that in all that we're going to look at, the donkey does figure into, even when it's boiled down to a small. So good. I'm anxious to hear what is determined what is in the sermon. Any other comments on this one? If not, we'll move on to another fresco, but one that was done 500 years later. Okay, there we go. Okay, there we go. And this is called Christ's Entry into Jerusalem. It was done by, and I'm probably not going to pronounce this right, Jean Hippolyte Flandrin. And he was a French neoclassical painter. He produced this in 1848. And he came from a family of painters. He became famous in his mid-20s. I believe his father had a background in painting, but then he kind of pushed Jean Hippolyte into not painting, but he had to. It was his destiny. So he became famous in his mid-20s and made his living by painting mostly sacred art. And then his son, Paul, also made a career of painting mostly sacred art. And he studied with the painter Ingres, who also became a lifelong friend. So I don't know if you know his work, somewhat similar, that they emphasize. And certainly in 500 years, things have, well, why don't I ask you? What do you notice has sort of changed between Giotto and now this depiction in 1848, or any other comments you may have about this piece? The future. Oh, okay. That's wonderful. I know your mic wasn't on, but you feel that it's darker in tone, and but the cult is there as the future, as representing the future, which I think is really a wonderful observation. That's great. Hang on one sec. Ted's coming. We want to make sure the mic.
There's to be a serenity about this one. There was more excitement about the first depiction. And this one is, there it is. Everybody's calm. Jesus is accepting. Even the donkey looks chill.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Very, very kind of linear path almost. Yeah. I see that. I wonder about the skyline in the background, whether or not that's, is that Jerusalem? You all who have been there, do you think that represents Jerusalem? Because oftentimes what artists will do is take their own area of where they live and place Jesus into their situation. We'll see that in a couple more of the pieces, but I don't know, that does kind of, not that I've ever been to Jerusalem, but do you think? Yeah,
Barb? Well,
if you look at the background, and if it is Jerusalem, but the sky behind it is ominous, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. Artistically, you know, what an artist wants to do is certainly focus on the main person, which of course is Jesus. But look at how that light is on the colt or the baby. I'm not sure which is which. You know, they say that they put Jesus on the colt, and then the offspring is right along with. So that's a kind of a neat symbolism, and I love your notation of that. I think that's wonderful.
Sandy,
but it's
this
not
is
a glow.
This is Doug Mitchell, and it looks to me as if the expressions on the people make absolutely no doubt that they all perceive him to be God's son.
Mm.
There is nothing but worship all through that crowd. And I don't recall exactly the expressions in the earlier painting, but I think it has at least to do as much with their expressions as it does with the center of interest.
Agreed. That's a wonderful observation. And I think that was probably the goal of the painter, and probably painters in that era. They expression was much more the goal, as I said. I think that's fantastic. Any other comments? Yeah, Sandy Conaway.
The first thing I noticed when you put the slide up there, the picture up there, was the donkey's ears. Their back, and often with a horse, that means they're not particularly happy. And I also have to say that this shows Jesus's entry into Jerusalem way more somber than I had ever pictured it. It to me, it doesn't seem to say what the Bible says, because of the joy, and it just is different than how I've ever thought about it.
I'm sure there were moments.
It's working? Okay. Anyway, I noticed that there are people of color and rather out front there. And I don't know what the makeup of the crowd would have normally been, but to me, that's sort of notable.
That is. Well, all of humanity. I wonder if that was the goal of the artist. I would too. I would like to think that, yes.
When did they start using the halo over Jesus? Is that an artistic thing?
Well, it was 500 years before. I believe that, you know, the Byzantine did that for sure. Using that motif. I think most that I know of use that to call out Jesus and Mary.
Isn't dark skin fairly predominant in that region? So if anything, a lot of painting really kind of whitewashes the population.
That's right. Yes, I agree. Well, kudos.
And we depict Jesus as being white too.
Well, I love this composition. I think it doesn't lack anything. It's just with the glow and the depiction of Jesus moving forth. I really appreciate all of your comments and would agree with them. So why don't we move on to a more, come on. Do I hold it down? There, don't want to go that far. I got a little, okay, let's try this again. Now, help me out, Ted. What do I have to do? There we go. Okay, wonderful. All right. So now this one is a more contemporary depiction of Palm Sunday. I would say the word energy. There's a lot of energy, a lot of so I'm going to explain. This one was, I think this depiction of this piece was done in 1994, but it's possible that it was done in 2011, and I'll explain. So the artist, John August Swanson, his dates are 1938 to 2021, and he was a world-renowned contemporary artist whose works include many colorful depictions of stories from the Bible and other religious themes. So he lived and worked most of his life in Los Angeles. His art reflected his strong heritage of storytelling, inherited from his Mexican mother and Swedish father. So you see the Mexican influence, I think. Actually, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, Haitian. It's quite similar to a Haitian style that I've become familiar with. But I would say that Mexican as well, or in his case, it was a Mexican influence. The halo is gone. Thank you, Tom. You're right. The halo is gone. So many of Swanson's beautiful works are on display in churches, universities, and museums around the world, including the Smithsonian in Washington, the Art Institute of Chicago, Harvard's Fogg Museum, and the Tate Gallery in London. As well as the Vatican, and of course, other institutions. So, entry into the city was one of Swanson's largest paintings. And I said 94. He completed that in 1990. And it was featured in Life magazine's December 1994 issue. So that painting is now in the collection of Notre Dame University. In 2011, he began to revisit the story of Palm Sunday. And he added figures and detail and used brighter and more vibrant colors. So he completed the new painting in January 2012. And it is now in the collection of the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels in Los Angeles, California. My problem is, I don't know which one this is. I'm not sure. I don't think you could get any more vibrant or more people. So I'm going to guess this is the 2012 version. But any comments about this piece? Yeah, Chip? Hang on one sec, Chip. Sorry.
Any idea of the people in the white garb, what that represents?
Do you think security? I wonder, or yeah, they have spears, so it could be representative of, you know, the Romans. I think that would be a good, yeah, he's telling a story. You know, the banners flying. I see the palms. I see many, many, many swords. So, Tony.
Sandy, last week, for some reason, I looked up earliest images of Jesus. And what I discovered, very, very simple, I couldn't even give you the years, but very early, you know, within 200 or 300 years after he lived. And all of those, there's no beard. Wow. And his hair is short. And he looks like a 33-year-old rather than a 57-year-old.
Interesting. Well, thanks for that. That's good context. Wonderful. So again, I think this would be sort of, you know, a more contemporary setting that is depicted here. Charlotte?
You know, Sandy, it's interesting how a picture, a painting can sort of evoke a feeling, right? Mm-hmm. I found myself like circus, celebration for sure, mm-hmm. lots of bright colors. But I also looked at it thinking, you know, it's almost as if I'm in a mall.
A mall.
I know.
Interesting.
Interesting reaction. Yeah. And then I looked again and it's the clouds above. That my immediate swipe across it, I thought it's like a ceiling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But the other thing that I'm struck by is the sense of tall buildings built up on each side. And I'm puzzling over that. And then lastly, I love the depiction of Jesus. It's much more, I think, realistic of the demographics of the time.
I agree. Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, when we all go to the mall this week, I hope you carry this image with you. Yeah, that's great. Any other comments? Okay, one more comment.
I'm also wondering about the flags over against the palms, that perhaps the flags are Jesus, are you coming as our leader revolutionarily? Versus the palms,
mm-hmm.
green.
For those, I don't know much about the Mexican culture, but I do wonder if flags are used fairly often in that way of celebration, or, you know, I have a feeling they might be. But I can't say that for sure. But it's also the design element wise, it carries, you know, you've got these strong buildings, you've got the people, but then I see the flags as carrying your eye through that the composition, and you know, there are always meanings to things, but then there is also the artist who attempts to, you know, help you to navigate through the painting itself. So I'll just add that for you. Yeah. Hang on 1 second.
Because both feet are on the same side.
Oh, you don't think okay.
the thing, and he's going to fall off.
You're right. You're right.
Or two steps.
It's a very naive style, so I do appreciate that in terms of, you know, just the way that that it is. But you're right; he does look like he's about to fall off. All right. Well, I'm going to move along. We have a few to visit. Here's another colorful one. Yeah, very colorful. And again, contemporary. The artist's name is Kai Althoff, and he's a German artist. And he's best known for figurative paintings rendered in a personal, distinctive visual language. He was born in February 1966 in Cologne, Germany. And he is largely self-taught. He is said to frequently mine both traditional German folklore and everyday life for the content in his work, and often references the aesthetic and techniques of the early German expressionism and painters such as Marc Chagall and Gustav Klimt. So what are your thoughts on this one? It's colorful, I'll add that. Hang on one. There you go.
I like the movement of the people, not having palms and just being joyous. But Jesus is looking back at I guess the king, and saying, "I'm here, and you just have to watch me and make this entrance." I love the movements of the people. I feel like moving like that. Instead of swinging a palm back and forth.
It is dance-like. But you're right. Jesus is obviously communicating with that person with the top hat. And what is he saying? Could that be the representatives of the Pharisees, perhaps? And, him saying, if they stop praising, even the rocks will cry out. So now here's, though, over to the right is where it seems the disciples are. So I sort of see this as here are the disciples. Coming along with him, and he's going into the crowd. And the crowd are the ones who are very active and waving their, there are a few little palms there, but and the cloaks on the ground. And that background, wow. That is really, really artistic. I don't know whether there's a symbology there, but the halo is back, as the same with the disciples. So yeah, I really like that one figure sort of up waving like this. I mean, his gesture is just so strong. It's very, very good.
Sandy, this is Sarah.
Sarah?
Marlene Slater pointed out that Jesus is pointing a finger at the wealthy family at the table.
Ah, there you go. Okay. That he is. And it's a very distinctive, I should have done some more research on that, but that sounds like that is exactly what he's doing. Mm-hmm. That's true. There is a child there.
The man in the black is really out of character with all the rest of it. And he seems really annoyed. He seems, yes, I think he seemed, initially I thought, he's bowing down, but I don't see that.
And as in the gospel, it did say that the Pharisees said, "Quiet your people, don't let them be doing this, the praising." So Jesus is saying to him, if I quiet them, the stones or the rocks will reach out. So yeah, that could be. I wonder. Yeah, well, it's definitely. So it's an amazing use of color. There are choices there that are really cacophony is the word that I kind of come up with is there's not a set color tone or palette that he chose. It's all over the place. Sorry, I have Kathy.
I'm questioning why Jesus is sitting side saddle on the horse, because that was basically a woman's way of riding.
I wonder. I don't know much about riding. And Carol has left, so she's our horse person. But Sandy?
Jesus wore a robe, and it's very difficult to sit.
It would be.
With both, you know,
you're right,
on either side. So I think that's probably
the
reason for that.
That makes some sense.
To me, riding side saddle seems a little more ceremonial.
It does. You're right.
I just wanted to say that his gesture is two fingers. It's like a sign. I don't know if that's a symbol of peace, but it's, yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Thank you for that. That's great. All right. Well, I'm going to move on because I think in the interest of time, I want to make sure we're able to see all of these pieces. This one is very different, I think, than these crowd scenes. This one is calmer, maybe, or maybe that's not the word. Anyway, what I'm going to do is read a couple of quotes by the artist, because he describes his process in one of the quotes, and then he describes his spiritual direction through painting from in this other one. Quote, "Although I don't understand it, many people tell me that my art makes them happy and touches them in a spiritual way. Perhaps because I always seek to honor and glorify my faith in God, who is the center of my life. As I get older, I realize that the something I am searching for is a closer walk with God through my art." So that's by William Hammerling. He further says, "I call myself a painter instead of an artist because I am self-taught. My inspiration comes from my life experiences, my Catholic upbringing, and my faith. I paint on recycled materials and found objects using house paint and wood stain. My creativity is influenced by the uniqueness of the materials I use. I paint from my imagination, but sometimes it is not very realistic. Collectors who view my art use their imaginations to take them to a place in their own minds." So this particular piece is very similar to what he does. Mostly, you know, Black individuals, and, you know, kind of boils down the story to something fairly simple. So, you know, going back to the gospel story, now all you see is the palms and the people. And my question to you is, do you think that that central figure is Jesus? Yeah, yeah, I do think that. I think that the central figure is Jesus. No halo, no. But they're all wearing hats. So is it maybe highlighting Jesus's humanity? He's one of us, but he is the one, and he's holding the Trinity, or a symbol of the Trinity, maybe in his hands. Again, the children. Do you see that there are two children who are looking, I think, innocently at him, but adoring? It's like, you know, the children know this is Jesus. And the other people, some of them are turned away, some of them are not. But, you know, I see it as an attitude of, you know, how we react to Jesus. And in a symbolic way. I find this to be a wonderfully mysterious piece. and a lovely design. And frankly, of all of these images that we're going through, this is my favorite. Does anybody have any comments, or shall we move on? Roberta?
The people appear to be faceless, which is almost like every man.
Thank you for that. You're right. You're right. It is, yeah.
Sandy, one thing that strikes me is that in the last three paintings you've shown, Jesus is always right in the center front. But the thing that is striking to me is that of those six figures, there's one adult in the back that's looking away from Jesus. I think that's really striking somehow.
It is striking, yet isn't that reality? I did want to say, Bill Hemmerling died in 2009 of colon cancer at the age of 66. And he lived in, where did he live? I didn't write it down because I'm not exactly sure. His life was celebrated by many friends and family at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church, with a Catholic mass, lively gospel music, and a moving eulogy by Clancy DeBose. And then a funeral procession led by Sweet Olive and directed by Quint Davis of Jazz Fest. So New Orleans, I believe, is where he lived. And but I'm couldn't find that information exactly. No, or if he was, the picture I saw, I shouldn't say no precisely. I'm not sure. I don't know, but
Ponchatoula near Louisiana is where he lived.
Thank you. That's great.
Near New Orleans.
Absolutely. They all are. All of his work is in this very similar style. And it's lovely. The one that is looking away is a large presence. You are absolutely right. Yeah. That's so true. There's almost like one neutral, the one that's on the right-hand shoulder, and then one, you know, removed a little bit. But I just love the fact that the children are intently looking at him. I think that's wonderful.
I'm struck by the texture that he got in the white with house paint.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. Yep. Yes. Who knows what he was working on, the surface that he was working on, but like he said, it's found materials and right, house paint. Sounds like a very interesting man. All right, let's move on to this one. And I'm going to pass this around, this book, while we talk about this one. This is The Way of the Cross in Woodcuts by the same artist. And so it's, all of the stations of the cross done and some good prayers and meditations to go along with. And I have been reading this during Lent, and it's really lovely. So this is work by Craig Yingst, and he is a contemporary artist. But let's first talk about this image. So like the Hemmerling piece that we just saw, this composition is stripped down to the essential elements. The objects and people that fill some of the other pieces that we've looked at are gone. So there is nothing else in this image except Jesus, the donkey, and the palms. And Jesus's somber visage feels to me like he is looking ahead to what is to come. So how do you all feel about this particular piece? It's not very big. I think it's only 8 by 10. His woodcuts are rather small. But anybody have any ideas or comments about this piece? No. Well, I'll tell you a little something about Craig Yingst. He is a self-described sacred art pilgrim and a contemporary artist living in Pensacola, Florida. He's a printmaker and painter, and his subjects have been focused on people, in the way he says it is saints, sinners, and everyone in between. So, I find this to be just a lovely woodcut. He is a master woodcutter. I've looked at some of his work from early on when it was, the designs weren't as well established as this one, but I would say this is another stark and lovely piece. So I'm gonna, I don't know what time it is. Are we, we're doing okay? Oh, 10:30, okay, cool. Well, we're gonna move on to this piece. And this is by Sadao Watanabe. And his dates are July 7th, 1913 to January 8th, 1996. He was born and grew up in Tokyo, and his whole life was a Japanese printmaker. The subject matter of Watanabe's prints is exclusively the gospel, rendered in, and I'm not pronouncing this correctly, probably, Mengai, or folk art approach. He was influenced by Buddhist figure prints, and he places his biblical subjects in Japanese context. So in this piece, there are a lot of elements again. We have, of course, Jesus in the center, and the people around, but you notice that they're wearing kimonos, and the kimonos are the ones that are laying on the ground. Lots of vegetation. I see a single palm, but lots of other vegetation around it, and Jesus being at the center. You mean the ground part where there are garments that are thrown on the right? Those would be the garments, and he's coming along with his I want to ask you if this looks somewhat familiar to you, this piece. Sue's over there. Yeah, I was wondering if you thought I wasn't going to bring up. Well, Sue, would you like to explain, since you were very instrumental in putting, well, yeah, go ahead.
In our permanent collection out here, we do have a Sadao Watanabe print, which is Exile from Egypt. And the piece is actually, when the gallery opened in 1964 here at our church, the artist was Sadao Watanabe, which we didn't discover until we had already pursued getting a print of his. And the actual piece that was given to Pastor Galbraith was Exile from Egypt. So we bought a new one. It was just all these God winks.
Exactly. Definitely God winks. So did you all get that? So please make your way out to the permanent gallery and look at the actual pulled print of this wonderful artist's work. I think we have a book also that's in, or do we, in the library, or I'm sorry, in the gallery. I believe we have something that speaks to other works of his. So yes, it's a phenomenal piece of art. Does anybody have any comments on this particular piece? I would say that you know, the artists that we have that have been presented today, their focus by and large is religious art. And you know, I've been known to paint spiritual art, but it's not my main focus. So I hats off to these people whose, you know, that's their calling, is to do religious art. And he is absolutely one who it's only biblical stories that he depicts. So, and the style is just really clean and lovely. So I wanted to end with our saying in unison this Palm Sunday prayer. It I think it really does kind of speak in a poetic way to where we are in, you know, the Holy Week. We're at the beginning of the Holy Week. We all bring what it is that we bring. And if we don't have any further questions or comments, I'd like to have us all pray this Palm Sunday prayer in unison by Catherine Smith. Okay? All right, let's pray. Holy One, you ride through this life on the bony back of our stories, on the spread of our hopes. You do not shun the confusion of our longings or the brevity of our commitments. You meet us in the midst of them, and by your presence, gather us close and make us more than we are. We pray these words as a banner. We lay them down as our love. We linger in them so that we may become Hosanna. So amen, and go in peace. Thank you. All right.